Well, good morning, everybody. And for those who were listening carefully the last time I was here, I know this isn't the end of February. That was the next time I said I was going to be with you in worship. Dave is unfortunately ill just now, and whilst he is recuperating, I was asked to cover the service this morning because I'd already been part of the series on the Lord's Prayer, and I was only too pleased to accept the invitation and come back and share with you this morning. First up, there is some intimations, and I love this. There is an auto cue to keep me right. So the first one is, in the event of an emergency, get out. Thank you. Follow other people. There's an exit there and there. Tea and coffee, you are most welcome to join for a cup of tea, coffee, chat. There's even a biscuit in that graphic, so you might be lucky and be on to a winner there. Unfortunately, I can't stay because the last time I was caught up in conversation, I was being ushered out the door to be told, don't get stuck by the barrier. So I need to race down the road and not get stuck waiting on a train. The Guild is this Tuesday at 1:30. No, it's not, it's the 20th. The 28th this Tuesday, and we're holding a bring and buy sale in aid of all of the Guild projects. Having been at a number of Guilds this session, the Guild projects I've been really touched by and hearing a lot about them. So I would really commend as many of you to bring your pals and come along to the bring and buy sale on Wednesday at 1:30. Tuesday at 1:30. Even with an auto cue, Douglas can't read. It's fine. Thank you. I was about to say maybe we'll skip this one, but I've read the bottom line. Sunday night at the manse, for obvious reasons, has been postponed until further notice. I think it'd be a wee bit weird turning up in somebody's house whenever they're not well. So the Sunday nights at the manse have been postponed until further notice. And when Dave is back with you, he will intimate when they are resuming. The Church Magazine articles are due. I'm saying that now because there is a date of the 16th of February, but if you say it's due now, the editor won't get grumpy with you. I'm just speaking from experience in my own churches, is whenever you haven't submitted it, you're getting emails, these were due yesterday. So please, if you've got something to submit, do it as quick as you possibly can. There is one up on the screen, which you can read for yourself. It's awful too wee for me to read at the back, so it's up here. Prayer is part of our faith. What works for you? So we're asking a question about prayer. Pastoral cover. If you are needing any pastoral care, or you know of somebody who is in need of pastoral care during Dave's absence, you can contact the Reverend Scott Cameron and he will be able to sort things out. The details up there, but there will be folks in the church that will be able to point you in that direction if you've not got a scribble down of that number. And that concludes the intimations this morning. How blessed are we that God forgives and loves each and every single one of us. For all the times we have fallen short of what God would want us to be, we are forgiven. God makes us new in His Spirit. Now is the time to joyfully accept the newness of life which God offers to us. Come. Let us worship God and be thankful. Let us open our hearts to the peace, to the joy, and the forgiveness of God. And we stand and sing as one voice the first of our hymns, which is, "The church is wherever God's people are praising." Thank you. now draw near to God with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come here this morning and approach you, we acknowledge the greatness of your power. We admire the extent of your love. In the rays of the winter sunlight that light up the snowy peaks, and the same sunlight that casts images of rainbows across our bleak, dark winter skies, we remember Jesus Christ, the true light of the world, who came to light the way for us. For the week that has gone past, there have been many opportunities for us to see you in action, to see you at work in our lives and in the lives of those round about us. So great you are. Everything is commanded to happen by your hand. But at times, we lose sight of this and we forget it. We forget that you are the one who moves mountains, and you are the one that we need to listen to, follow, believe, and trust in. So this morning, as we gather to worship and offer you praise, take our doubts, take our questions, take our worries, and take all that we lay before you now, knowing and trusting that you deal with all of these things, freeing us up to offer you the praise and worship and glory that you are due. Lord God, too often we can focus on lists of to-dos, our earthly human-imposed systems of logic and process, that we lose sight of the kingdom that we are called to build. So many times we look inwardly, we think selfishly, and not outwardly, missionally to the people beyond these walls. We don't think how special each of us are and how special each person in our community is in your sight. So help us to slow down. Help us to look after ourselves, both physically and spiritually, so that we can be nourished by the power of your Holy Spirit. May all aspects of worship this morning be acceptable to you. So guide our thoughts, we pray. Inspire us into action, we pray. And hear us as we say together in one voice the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Making mistakes, putting things right, can be quite challenging. Admitting that we've got something wrong can be quite challenging. But I want you to think, how many of you would be able to write your name, or be able to write a thank you note, to be able to write a letter to a loved one? Most of us. But were we always able to do that? I've got a 5-year-old at home, Freya, and she comes home excitedly from school every day from August with a new sound that she can say, do the actions for, and write. But she's not able to write everything just perfectly yet. She's had to make mistakes. So we've got a rubber that sits sometimes beside, particularly at Christmas when we were writing the thank you notes. She was able to sound out some of the words, but some of them were a bit more complicated. So we had a rubber. But after the first mistake, and she corrected it, the second card became easier for her. By the time we were on to the third and the fourth, things were becoming easier. There were less mistakes being made. because she had learned, she was progressing. And if we try and translate that into our own lives, there are so many times where we just want to be right. We don't want to admit, I've made a mistake. There are some times whereby we don't want to take the eraser and make it better because we're right. It doesn't matter about anybody else. We're right. Apologizing for when we have made a mistake, accepting when we've made a mistake and thinking, do you know what, I need to rub out this wee bit. I need to rewind it. And for those who remember tapes, you used to rewind and tape over stuff. Now I rely on a phone. You rely on a computer at the back. We rely on Sky Plus boxes and all those fancy gigos. We don't have the rewind and tape over. Being wrong and being prepared to apologize means that you need to be able to see where you have gone wrong. Sometimes we need to build bridges. Sometimes we need to offer an olive branch. And sometimes you both might have been in the wrong. Sometimes neither of you were in the wrong. But somewhere in the middle, there was a misunderstanding. Somewhere along the line, someone needs to say sorry. You're at an impasse. You're not quite sure. But why should it be you? Why should you be the one to apologize? You know you're the bigger person. You might even know you were right. But why should you be the one to build the bridge? Why should you be the one to extend an apology to someone that it wasn't really your fault at all? Another illustration for you, a very real story of a very good friend of mine who this week did something incredibly brave. For a number of years, there's been a bit of an impasse between somebody who's very close to them. But they took the decision to send a message and say, let's go for lunch. Why? They did nothing wrong. Why should it be them to try and put things right? But bravely, they held out a hand of friendship. They invited them out for lunch to try and find a resolution, to look for a way of going forward. They offered forgiveness for a spoiled relationship. They weren't looking to try and cast blame. Right at the start, I was sitting at the back and there was a problem with the sound. And as soon as it happened, I went, it wasn't me. Too often, we put our hands up and go, it wasn't me. To try and deflect the blame to someone else. But my friend offered forgiveness for a ruined friendship. And now, what was the outcome of that? Now, whilst they aren't back as bosom buddies as they were before, by offering that hand of friendship, by offering that offer of saying sorry, a close friendship, it might not be, but it's not the hostile relationship that it had perhaps become. You see, A small word of, I'm now quickly counting five letters. It's easy, or is it? It's only five letters. Wouldn't get you many points in Countdown or Scrabble, unless you put it in the right squares. It's a small word, but it has immense potential. Jesus came to demonstrate exactly this way of life to all of us. He came to forgive that we might in turn forgive other people, that we have the headspace, that we have the capacity to forgive, that we have the confidence to go out there and offer forgiveness to those who have wronged us. We forgive because we were forgiven. Saying sorry, it's not easy. Was it Elton John that did that song? I think Elton John sang a song about saying sorry's not the easiest word to say. And saying sorry and forgiving someone for something that they can't fully understand, that's an interesting thought in itself. But Jesus forgave those who had condemned him to death. If he can do that, what power do we have for those in our lives? We can look beyond our differences. He was there, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." He said that in moments before he died. And Jesus led by example. So this morning, and in all our lives, let us follow his lead, so that despite differences, we can admit where we have gone wrong. We can work for a better world. And we can build the kingdom here. That's what we were talking about the last time I was here. It's what can we do to bring the kingdom here? The kingdom is the church. What are we going to do? And if we are sitting holding grudges against people, if we are holding things against people who have wronged us, or maybe they haven't wronged us, or maybe this is a historic divide, and you think, I actually don't know why, but it's I always been this way. It takes someone to try and reach out a hand and say, let's talk. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And only when we can do this, and only when we can show friendship to others, can we be the people Christ has called us to be. So this morning, I don't know about you, but I give thanks for people like my friend who are working to make this world a more peaceful place, trying to reconcile differences, even be in the midst of the most complicated and misunderstood scenarios. They look beyond being right all the time, admitting that we don't know everything, but following Christ's example. It's our turn to sing all together again. We're going to sing Colours of Day, Dawn Into the Mind, and we'll stand as we sing this one. Offering for the building of the kingdom will now be received. Your offering will now be uplifted. Thank you. Let's bring our prayers of dedication, our prayers for the world, and our prayers for others before God. Let us pray once more. Almighty and powerful God, we give you thanks and praise for all you've done in our lives. You've given us breath this morning, and you breathe new life into us, both physically and spiritually, when we need it the most. So often we struggle with others and wrestle with conflict and misunderstanding. So often we judge without considering our own actions and inaction. In times we find ourselves seeking revenge rather than seeking forgiveness. So in these times we ask that you help us to check ourselves, to correct ourselves, finding a way to reconcile these differences. Lord God, it's our prayer that our hearts be filled with compassion that comes only from you. It is our prayer that we reflect on forgiveness in our own lives, the forgiveness that you gave to all of us so that we might be able to forgive other people. Lord God, in our world there is much conflict and difference of opinion. But you call us, you call your church to demonstrate peace and reconciliation. You call your church to stand up for social justice and what is right. So give us the strength, we pray. Strength to be the people you want us to be. Open our ears so that we can hear what is needed. Open our eyes so that we can see where there is greatest need. Lead your church, we pray, to be a beacon of light in this bleak world. For the Church of Scotland, we seek your blessing, that we as a denomination work together, not against one another, and do what is acceptable in your sight. Guide and lead our motivations. May they be Christ-centered, we pray. This morning, we seek healing and comfort for all those who are ill. For those who have physical ailments, may you bring comfort. For those struggling with mental illness, may you bring them a peace of mind. For those who are journeying through difficult times, be the shining light for them, we pray. And we remember in particular this morning our minister friend and brother Dave, who is ill and in need of your healing. Watch over him. And watch over all those we remember in the silence before you now. Loving God, we thank you that we can bring all that we have to you, knowing that you will deal with things in your own time. You have given us all, everything that we have. So accept ourselves as offerings this morning, along with the offerings of money, brought to build and be your kingdom of peace, of forgiveness, and of love. Amen. We'll remain seated just now as we sing, "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord." Thank you.
Luke chapter 6, verses 37 to 42, judging others. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Or will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they both not fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, Brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Amen, and thanks be to God for this reading from his word this morning. Abba, Father, let it be. Let's stand and sing our next hymn together. Thank you. Forgiveness is the theme of the day. And whilst preparing and reading for this morning, I went looking for a particular book that I knew I had. I knew I had a book, a really good one in forgiveness. Couldn't find it. But I have an app that keeps track of these things on my phone. And I discovered I lent it to a friend who has subsequently lost it. They are no longer my friend. I may joke, appear slightly flippantly about this really serious subject, but it is no laughing matter. Forgiveness really is important. Throughout Luke chapter 6, Jesus describes two broad categories of people. He describes over on this side the legalistic, those who follow the letter of the law. And then over on this side, he has the people who follow the heart of the law. Those who are following the letter of the law are completely missing the heart, the inspiration, the point behind the law. It's a bit like those who follow speed limits religiously, really strictly, but not actually understand that it's for road safety. Jesus taught that the legalistic who follow the rules of the road follow the rules of the land without understanding that there is a reason for people. Christ came with people at the center of his ministry. That's what he is teaching. So those who are following the laws of the religion, Jesus comes to reset that balance. He's telling us to live by God's mercy. Jesus makes the point that following the law is not really about doing or not doing certain things. The law was given as a way of following and honoring God. If you are following the steps given, one after the other, but not following Jesus, and not having him personally leading your life, then you're not really following the law at all. You're missing the crucial heart bit, the bit that's in here, the bit that drives us. In other words, there are two different measures that you can use in life. You can use the measure upon which you put personal merit, or you can use God's measure. God's measure based on mercy. Jesus said in the wee bit just before the bit that we're doing and looking at this morning, if you love those who love you, what benefit is it to you? For even sinners love them who love them. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So Luke's point being made in Luke chapter 6 is that there are two different types of people. There are those who live by God's grace and those who try to live by their own merit. The two can't go together. Jesus gives us some questions to ask ourselves so that we know the type of person and the type of individual we are in his kingdom. Question one, how do you measure your interactions with others? And how do you measure their attitude to you? Question two, how well do you show others the right, or indeed the wrong, way to go? How are you being an example? And question three, this is the iffy one. How do you judge other people? And we're going to explore should you or should you not, because it's not simple as that. But for the first bit, our first thought this morning, what measure are you using towards other people? Judge not and you'll not be judged. Condemn not, you'll not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. If you want to know what measure you're using in your relationship to God, you have to look at the measure you are using against other people. When you read Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38, it almost seems the opposite of grace. Grace is when we are given something and we receive it that we don't deserve. Jesus' whole message was that man had utterly and completely failed in obeying the law, and especially the heart of the law. Even when it comes to our own actions and whether they are right or our motives are actually wrong, we are offered grace by God. Therefore, we're unable to earn things from God. That's what it appears to say on the surface, that we are unable to earn a relationship with God. We need God's grace through Jesus Christ. We need to be measured by a different measure. So when we hear, "Judge not and you'll not be judged," at first glance, that looks like what I earn from God is by doing good to other people. If I don't judge, God isn't judging me. And if I don't condemn, well, God isn't condemning me. And if I choose to forgive other people, God will forgive me. Wrong. What the message here is actually saying is Jesus' teaching is the other way around. It's the opposite. Jesus is saying that when you receive God's grace, that thing to which we don't deserve, we have it to give away. Jesus is saying that if you no longer depend on your own merit and man's earthly praise, you've got God's mercy to be merciful to other people. Not being judged by God, not being condemned by God, and being forgiven by God, they ain't the rewards that you get for doing the right thing. They're not the rewards you get for being good to people. Rather, if you have received God's grace, it means you have been spared that judgment, spared that condemnation, spared forgiveness. And the evidence is how you live your life and how you treat other people. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. You will know. You will really know if you have faith in Jesus by the way you are living your life, by the way you measure other people and how much you value relationships. So in these two verses, right at the start of today's reading, Jesus is saying that if you want to know what measure you are choosing to have God measure you by, then all you need to do is to look at how you are treating other people and how you measure and act and interact towards other people. I joked earlier on at Wisney Me. Author Wayne Dyer wrote this: "All blame is a waste of time. No matter how much fault you find with another, and regardless of how much you blame him, it will not change you. The only thing blame does is to keep the focus off of you when you're looking for external reasons to explain your unhappiness and your frustration. You may succeed in making another feel guilty of something by blaming him, but you won't succeed in changing what it is about you that it is making you unhappy. If you have accepted, really accepted God's grace, it's going to flow out of you. It will be the driving force in how you treat other people, how you love other people, and it's going to influence how you value relationships and how well you live out a life of Christ for others to see." So, that leads on to question number two in our consideration this morning on the theme of forgiveness: how well you demonstrate and lead the way for others and the effect that it can have. How can we know if we're really putting our faith in Jesus and no longer relying on our own thoughts of affirmation, our own selfish earthly gain and praise. In the next two verses, we see what that is. Verses 39 and 40, they're a wee bit like a proverb in their own right. They teach us something about care. They teach us about who we follow in our lives. They teach us something about how who we surround ourselves with. Are they a drain? Or are they something that builds us up and offers us encouragement? Who you follow will determine who you become. If you follow false teachers, if you follow the ways of this earth, if you follow the ways of society, we're not following the ways of God. And in turn, when we're not following the ways of God, our eyes are taken off that prize. That earthly thing becomes our focus, not our heavenly treasure and our heavenly Father. This Bible verse has another application. Not only are we to pay attention to the people we surround ourselves with and the effect that the leaders in our lives and the influences on our lives might have, but we also need to pay attention to the effect that we are having on those round about us, the people who look to us for leadership and guidance. If you want to know whether you're living by grace or by the letter of the law, look at the people you are leading and see how they are living. Don't know how you feel whenever you hear wee people swearing. It almost becomes punctuation marks in some places. Particularly when it's children using bad language, we sometimes have particular thoughts. Or we see ill-mannered people who don't hold doors open. That really bugs my happiness. We instantly assume, well, they weren't brought up particularly well. We blame the parents, don't we? We think on those things. Children simply are learning or not learning what the parents are teaching or not teaching. The parents of that child themselves can determine whether they're good parents, or the behavior of the child will determine what people think of that child. And of course, there becomes an age and stage where children are responsible for their own actions. Absolutely. They make their own decisions. So this example can't be taken too far, but hopefully as an illustration, it's given you a bit of an idea. And likewise, what we are teaching in our example, what we are doing and in the way we are interacting, that is a reflection of what we believe and what we trust in. We have the option to live and to lead by grace. We have the option to do what my friend did in the earlier example this morning. And when you do things the right way, that should be evidence enough that it is seen and it streams out of you. You shouldn't need to gossip and go, you'll never guess who I helped. You'll never guess the relationship that I mended. It should just be obvious in your interactions and the interactions of those round about you. So to my last question, how do you judge others? Now, as I said, this is a really difficult concept to consider. And in the last verses of today's reading, you could probably argue the toss. To judge or not to judge, that is the question. You could say that Christians, we should never judge. Or you could say that Christians should always be the judge. But both statements, I'm going to suggest this morning, are inaccurate. They are both wrong. Jesus says that Christians should not judge anyone else's motives because we cannot know another person's heart. He says that we should judge ourselves far more often than we judge other people. But he also says that once we have judged ourselves, we should be able to help our brothers and sisters look for the wrong in their own lives. In this context, he is saying that Christians should journey with one another. You might say it's accountability. That we should be checking in with others and going, how's things going? How are you struggling with that issue we had spoken about before? Is everything okay? Are you still following Christ's teaching, or are you looking for earth's praise in sorting this issue? As Christians, we are called to help others. We are often called when they are going against the ways of their faith. We're called to offer support. I keep using that word, support, journeying with. We are not called to condemn. It isn't the, well, it wasn't me, that's on you. We're not condemning. If you judge people to make yourself feel better, then you're comparing and using the law. If you judge and make others feel bad about themselves, you're living by that law. If you never judge and don't care what your brothers and sisters in Christ are doing, then you are missing the heart and going with the law. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. To be in full relationship and to say that line of the Lord's Prayer with true and passionate conviction, we need to be in full relationship with the Father and with each other. We therefore need to seek forgiveness and unity with and between each other. We need to seek forgiveness of and for our own wrongdoing and perceived wrongdoing and forgive others. Why? Because Christ first loved all of us. We cannot be seen to be above others. We cannot be above the accountability of other people. If a fellow Christian comes and offers you advice, you need to take it. Discern it. Pray over it. And assess how valid it is. Not against your earthly understanding, but you discern it against what Christ has taught us. If you are to offer support to others, that must come from a place of the heart, not a place from the law. Let us pray. Loving God, so often we use earthly measures and we get it wrong. So often we think about ourselves and we compare ourselves to others, and sometimes we feel better and sometimes we feel worse. But what we have learned this morning is that we should not be judging others in the way that we maybe first thought that passage instructed us to. Help us to accept and to discern the true word of God that comes from those who are sent to guide us. So hear us in the stillness of our hearts as we reflect on people, as we reflect on situations in our lives in which we need to reconcile right now. Open our eyes, we pray. Open our hearts and soften them so that we can in turn see a way forward that you want us to go. O Lord, hear our prayer. take these our prayers. Take us and strengthen us, helping us to follow your roadmap, finding a way forward. In your most precious name, amen. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. We can be lost sheep sometimes and need a bit of directing. The Lord is our shepherd, and he's got us. Let's stand and sing to his praise and glory. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. From here as witnesses of what you have seen and heard. Share God's love with those that you meet. Bring hope to all those in despair. Live lives of gratitude and praise, and may the love of God and the peace of Jesus Christ and the ongoing presence of the Holy Spirit be within you and among you until we meet again. So go, proclaiming the name of the Father, of the risen Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our door.